In high school, most of us had to take at least one class on civics, social studies, or American government. Those classes aim to teach us how our government works and get us ready to be engaged citizens after graduation. But with the attention youth activists have gotten after school shootings and with digital devices making political news more accessible than ever, is civics education doing its job? In research released last month, our next guest and her colleagues looked at the ways that civics education differs from one state to another and the types of activities students are spending time on. Elizabeth Mann Levesque is a fellow of governance studies in the Brown Center on Education Policy at the Brookings Institution. Elizabeth, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, why did you and your colleagues want to dig into what kids are learning in school about civics and their government?
Sure. So we really had two main motivations for this study. So the first motivation was just the divisiveness and discord in our national politics today. So this prompted us to think about, you know, as you said, what is the role that schools can play in teaching students how to participate productively in public debate and in democratic life more generally? The second motivation is with the recently passed Every Student Succeeds Act that was passed in 2015 and that replaces the No Child Left Behind Act. Really, we're in an era now where states have an opportunity to be innovative in terms of thinking about what students should be learning, how do we hold schools accountable, how do we measure student and school performance. So this is really a natural transition point, and it seemed to us like a good time to just think about what are the goals of civics education and to also look at what states are doing to reach those goals.
Before we dig into the details of your findings, let's look at that issue of the goals of civics education. And I'll oversimplify, but it seems like there's two main ideas. One is you learn the basic facts about how a bill becomes a law, checks and balances, branches of government, the fact-based side of things. And on the other hand, there's the idea that you learn how to engage as a citizen, whether that's at the local, state, or national level, through sort of practical, applied ways of learning. A, do I have that right? And B, is that kind of something we go back and forth on?
Yeah, so I think that's an excellent summary of the analysis here. So I think this is a really good question. So, you know, to your point, our analysis, which is based on recommendations and other analysis from leaders in the field of civics education, our point is that teaching students knowledge, skills, and dispositions matters. And so, as you described, that means things like, of course, a knowledge-based coursework in civics, discussion of current events, things like that. That's essential. If you don't have that knowledge, then you don't have a good starting point. But from there, teaching students what it means to actually be an engaged citizen, how you make your opinion heard, how you voice your opinion productively, how you engage with others who disagree with you. In terms of dispositions, we think about things like a sense of civic duty, a sense of kind of civic welfare and the welfare of society at large. So these are all these to us are the aspects of really a well-rounded civics education. And I think that there is a lot of support for this approach, in doing this research. As we talk about in the report, you know, we refer to the six proven practices, which embraces this perspective. We talk about the C3 framework, which also has this kind of, holistic approach to civics education. But I wouldn't say that this is, a completely agreed upon approach to civics education. So I think that there are definitely some who argue that the essential focus really should remain on building that knowledge base and that teaching civic engagement isn't necessarily within the scope of the civics curriculum. So I do think that there are some disagreements still there.
When we see national test scores and state test scores, looks like we assess kids a lot on math and a lot on language skills, English, reading, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Regardless of how we do civics education, are we doing enough of it?
So I think that, thinking about that question in the context of, standardized tests and nationwide standardized tests, so we do administer a nationwide standardized test referred to commonly as the NAEP. We administer that test less frequently in civics when we compare that to, for example, math and reading. But that's kind of just one dimension of looking at assessment, because of course there are things that you can get at on a standardized test that may be kind of the knowledge aspect that you know, but then there are other things that you maybe can't get to as much, which is kind of that skills and disposition. So I think that this actually going forward is a really important question when we think about what should we be doing in the classroom and how do we measure that and what can we capture and not capture in a standardized test. And so I think that kind of going forward, we're going to have to think really carefully about that.
Talking to Elizabeth Mann Levesque from the Brookings Institution, looking at the state of civics education in the United States. Elizabeth, let's dig into what you found when you looked at state requirements for civics education. Broad strokes, what are states requiring? What are most of them not requiring?
Sure. So what we found is that looking nationwide, it's more common that states require components of civics education related to that knowledge piece we were talking about. So, for example, 43 states, that includes Washington, D.C., have at least one required course for high school graduation that is either in civics or related to civics, so, you know, U.S. history or American government. We see that 51 states, so, you know, all states in Washington, D.C., in their standards or curriculum frameworks mention discussing current events. So, great, you know, there's a lot of widespread coverage there. We also see that the majority of states in their standards mention news media literacy. So those, and, you know, we of course did not look at all the factors, you know, that contribute to a high quality civics education, but of the ones that we looked at, those were the three where there was really the most coverage, and those all kind of fall in the context of fact building, you know, information transmission, knowledge building, that kind of thing, which, you know, as we mentioned, that's good, that's positive, that's really an important aspect of this type of education. What we saw less of was the more participatory or engagement aspects of civics education. So we saw many fewer states incorporating or mentioning service learning in their standards. We also saw just over half of states, 27 states, mentioning simulations of democratic procedures. So that's like a mock trial or a, you know, mock election in their standards. And we also saw just under half of states, 23, have used or are planning to use that C3 framework I mentioned to, you know, update or modify their standards. And again, that framework has a number of components, but one of them is kind of focusing on that participatory side. So in general, what we saw is there's quite extensive coverage on that, you know, knowledge-based component, which is good, it's reassuring, but there's less coverage when it comes to that teaching engagement and modeling engagement and giving students an opportunity to, you know, really experience that in a classroom setting.
And I saw, I think it was in your report, a survey of students to say, asking, did you do this particular activity, or how often do you do that? What kind of things did you find there?
Sure. And so this was looking at, exactly, so this is a survey of 12th grade students from 2010, and that was administered by the NAEP. And so exactly, what we found is that students reported that it's much more common that they engage in kind of that knowledge-based or classroom-based activities as compared to more kind of engaged activities. So let me just give you an example there. So for example, 63% of students said that they discuss current events in their civics class at least on a weekly basis. So that's a lot, right? That's the majority. On the other side of that, 70% of students said that they never wrote a letter to give an opinion or help solve a problem. 56% of students said they never took part in role-playing, mock trials, or dramas. And, you know, 31%, they haven't taken part in debates or panel discussion. So I just go through those numbers just to give you a sense that when we think about, you know, and those are students saying they've never done that. And so even something like building a mock trial into a civics course at some point, we're seeing a lot of students just aren't doing this at all, let alone aren't doing it regularly, and that raises some concerns when we think about, you know, if you're not learning what it actually means to engage, to participate in this process, in this classroom setting, for some students, they're not really going to have a lot of opportunities to learn that, and that's going to put you at a disadvantage, you know, when you're trying to make your voice heard, when you're trying to, you know, engage in public debate, make your opinion heard, things like that.
We're talking to Elizabeth Mann Levesque, fellow at the Brown Center on Education Policy at the Brookings Institution. We're looking at civics education in American schools and whether it prepares students to be engaged and active citizens. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're a student now or a recent graduate, do you feel like your civics class is preparing you to be engaged in public life after graduation? Did you do some of those things, not just the book learning, but the actual, you know, mock trials or mock elections, things that might prepare you to actually engage in the world of civics, of local politics, national politics? If you work in education, if you're a civics teacher yourself, love to hear from you and what you think about the curriculum you're working with and the kind of projects you do with your students. And for anybody, what is important for a student to know, to learn, to do by the time they graduate high school when it comes to civics? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. Elizabeth Mann Levesque is with us from the Brown Center on Education Policy at the Brookings Institution, sharing recent research on the state of civics education in American schools. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Did what you learned about civics in school set you up to be engaged in your community or in politics? Do schools need to change with the times? If you're in school now or a recent grad, what do you think about the civics classes or American government classes you took? Did you do some of this hands-on kind of stuff, writing letters on an issue, mock trials, mock elections, that kind of thing? If you work in the schools, love to hear from you as well. If you're a teacher or an administrator, what is the state of civics education in your classroom? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Elizabeth, we heard from Andrew on Facebook. He says he doesn't think he was taught how to register to vote back in school. Is that kind of the basic sort of thing that we want students coming out knowing how to do?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that that's a great example of one of the skills that we would think about when we're talking about knowledge, skills, and dispositions. So that kind of comes back to this earlier point I raised, which is learning how to do something like registering to vote. That is a key entry point to making your voice heard and participating in the political process. So yeah, I mean, that absolutely is in the category of what we're talking about.
Can you talk about the value of, instead of reading about, say, how a trial works, doing a mock trial, or instead of reading about, how to contact your congressperson, actually writing that letter? Why is that hands-on activity so important?
Sure. Well, I think that there are a couple of really valuable aspects of that. One is just, the how-to aspect, right? And so something like, writing a letter to Congress, that may seem daunting. It may seem, for a student, like, well, I don't, that doesn't apply to me, right? That's for important people, or that's for people who, are experts in this or have something to say. And so, having your students write a letter to a member of Congress, for example, or a local representative, I think part of that is it shows them, no, this includes me, right? My voice matters, and I actually know how to express it now. I also think that there's an aspect of that, let's say you're writing in and you're writing in to express opposition to a member of Congress. That's an excellent teaching opportunity to help students craft a message and learn to communicate in a way that is civil, that uses evidence, that makes their point clear, while respectfully disagreeing with someone. And, that's another important skill, and you kind of get the added bonus of teaching that in this real-world context where it may kind of stick a little bit more with students rather than in a purely classroom setting.
Is there something different about civics education in 2018 in the age of social media than it might have been, say, 30 years ago?
Sure. So I think that, one of these practices that we measure was news media literacy, and that's always been important. It's always been important to be able to understand the source of your news and different perspectives and things like that. But I think especially, of course, the 2016 election is a great case in point, being able to distinguish between real news and fake news and being able to detect bias, whether that's on the left or on the right. I think being able to do that on kind of, mainstream media, but also in social media, I think that's only going to become increasingly important. And, you know, that's one of those real life skills that also I think could be incorporated into a classroom environment or a curriculum. You know, it could be a good way to kind of reach students in the sense that you're engaging with, you know, what they actually see on their phones every day, so it might ring true a bit. And at the same time, you're giving them really important skills to understand, you know, what's happening in the world around them and how to interpret that accurately.
Let's bring in our callers now. Peter is with us in Green Bay. Peter, hi.
Hello.
What do you want to tell us about, Peter?
I was just thinking back of my high school civics courses and how great they were. The first week or so of class, the teacher, she made us fill out what side of various issues that we were on. And you always had to debate or discuss them from the opposite perspective. You could never bring you always had to argue the other side of it. And it was so funny because they always talk about how, you know, teaching on one media. And I always wondered what side of the political spectrum she was on, because I could never figure it out. I was very politically engaged.
Peter, thanks a lot for the call. We're kind of losing your connection there. Elizabeth, this idea of making people argue from different sides, or maybe from a side they disagree with as part of their civics education.
Yeah, you know, I think that, again, that's one of those skills that will be emphasized. So, you know, what the caller mentioned is a great example of how you do that. So you think about something from someone else's perspective. You think about how to gather evidence and facts to support and evaluate multiple sides of an issue. You learn to listen, you know, and maybe think about things differently than you did before. I realize that what I'm describing just kind of sounds like good listening skills and, you know, skills that can serve people well in all aspects of their life. And I think that's true, but I think that's particularly true in the context of civic engagement and participation. So, yeah, that's an excellent example of the kind of skill that we think is important to incorporate in, you know, regular classroom learning.
Peter, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We're talking about civics education in schools with Elizabeth Mann-Levesque with the Brookings Institution, co-author of some recent research on that topic. Back to your calls now. Jim is with us in Eau Claire. Jim, hi.
Hi. Thanks for this radio presentation. Yes, I was school superintendent back in Adrian, Michigan. Way back in 1986, we approached a judge regarding having students serve as jurors, and he did. So he set up a program where our students, along with all the students in the county, were served as jurors for any trial of individuals in the teens, 19 on down, and they were legal jurors in court, and so they had trials. I still have a photograph of one of those trials in one of my areas, and also the only thing they couldn't do was a student was not selected if they were involved with another student from their school. That was one thing that the judge did not want. But they served as jurors.
Wow.
And every single student that graduated from high school at 18 was registered to vote.
Jim, thanks a lot for that call. Adrian, Michigan, one of my cousins might have been in one of those programs with you. Thanks for that. So this idea, while actually having students as jurors, Elizabeth.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, one point that I kind of picked up on that made me think of something that I think is important and really relevant is that, you know, I think that's, you know, what that teacher was, you know, working towards possibly. And one kind of bigger point is that our students, you know, I've been talking about this in terms of what benefits our students, what do they need to know. But, you know, that's a case in point where our students are also members of our society. And once they turn 18, they're, you know, potentially voting members. And they're, in a lot of ways, they're the future of our democracy. And so they are going to be the people who are serving on juries. They are going to be the people who are judges and lawyers and politicians and everything else. And so, you know, thinking about how do we give, you know, all students kind of equal access to be able to know how to fill those roles and to see themselves in those roles and, you know, playing that part in our democracy, you know, I think is really important.
Jim, thanks for the call. Mike is with us now in Green Bay. Mike, hi.
Hi, thanks. So I guess I'm going to be devil's advocate a little bit here. I think civic engagement is largely a democratic notion, I think, and I'm curious how, there seems to be a growing influence of money in politics as far as, lobbyists and large corporations and all that kind of stuff influencing that the voting
Mike, I'm going to jump in because we're just about out of time, but Elizabeth, should civics education look at the role of money and lobbying in politics?
I think the exact kind of civics education we're talking about, where it's well-balanced, is exactly what's needed to give students the skills to look at those kinds of questions, So certainly teaching from, one perspective or another is not the goal, but helping students understand that, yes, this is a question we should be asking, and this is something you should be evaluating when you're looking at, support for different policies or where our policies come from.
Mike, thanks for the call. Briefly, as we wrap up, Elizabeth, are you hopeful that people will take the results of your study and make civics education better from state to state?
I think that there's a lot of excellent work happening in schools and in states, and I think there are a lot of good resources out there that we talk about in this report that can help, states and then on down from there to the local level, modify and adapt and bring in some of these, this well-rounded approach to civics education. So, I think there's a lot of good work happening, and I hope that it continues.
Elizabeth, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Elizabeth Mann Levesque is a fellow of governance studies in the Brown Center on Education Policy at the Brookings Institution. We've been looking at a report on the state of civics education in the United States and whether or not it's preparing kids to be engaged citizens after graduation. Still time for you to share your thoughts, your stories, maybe your experiences in civics class as a student, maybe as a teacher. You can do that on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Was there a project, like we heard from one caller, that juror project, for example, that really made you think, that really taught you something about the way our civics worked in the United States? Again, share your thoughts and your stories. You can do that over on the Ideas Network Facebook page.